أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها، لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت، ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا، ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا، ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به، واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا، أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد، جزاك الله خير، وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وعلى من استنى بسنته واهتدى بهديه وسار على نهجه إلى يوم الدين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. We continue the series after a break of about 6 weeks due to illness and travel. الحمد لله. But we are back today, and today we are with two names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the two names of Allah that I completed this ayah with. So who was listening to what I just recited? It's a question. Two names of Allah that were there and the ending of this ayah. Okay, close. Al-Mawla, he said, Al-Mawla and An-Nasir. Al-Mawla is correct, also known as Al-Wali. The second one in the Quran, it doesn't come as An-Nasir, it comes as An-Nasir. It comes as An-Nasir. Because Nasir entails a level of exaggeration. We'll come to that in a second. We'll come to what they mean in a second. Jazakumullah khair. We have these two names of Allah in front of us. Allah's name Al-Wali and Allah's name An-Nasir. And these are two names which frequently come in the Quran in pairs. We said before, there's a reason when Allah pairs a name with another. Like Ghafoor and Rahim, and Aziz and Hakim, and Sami' and Alim. And when we try and explain the names of Allah and explore them, we don't just understand these names individually, we understand why are they paired together. You know, if you go to a fashion specialist, the fashion specialist will tell you that brown and blue go together, but don't wear brown and yellow, because different colors contrast, they don't match, and some colors match. Similarly, names and words and meanings, some match and some don't match. So why did Allah select these two names to be as a pair, Al-Wali and An-Nasir? And it comes in the Quran, these two words, approximately 50 times. Let me take you first to Allah's name Al-Wali. So who can tell me, what do they think? What do you think is the meaning of the name Al-Wali? The helper. Yes, what do you think? You're just scratching your neck. Sheikh, you can't scratch your neck. Anybody else? What is Al-Wali? What does a Wali mean?
Guardian.
Guardian. You're thinking of guardian because of the way it's used in marriage. For example, right? A woman needs a Wali. لا نكاح إلا بولي. Woman needs a Wali, a guardian, in order to authorize the marriage. Okay, what else?
Close friend.
Close friend. How did you come to that meaning? Where have you heard that? Awliya Allah. People try to translate when you say Awliya Allah, they say the close friends of Allah. It's not really, you can't translate it, but we'll explore that in a second. Okay, this is Wali. Guardian, close friend, protective friend, different ways you can try and translate it. What about the second name of Allah, An-Nasir? How would you translate this word? Anybody have is familiar with this word? Yeah? The helper. Okay, this is how it's usually translated. The helper. He's going to be on your side against whoever is standing against you. Okay, good. Let's start with Allah's name, Al-Wali. This word, it's not an Urdu word, it's not a Tamil word, it's not a Mandarin Chinese word, it's an Arabic word. So we have to go and see what does this word mean in Arabic. Al-Waliyya in Arabic, this is the first usage of this word. Al-Waliyya is the saddle on the horse's back. Al-Waliyya, they would call this Al-Waliyya. Why? Because it is so close to the skin of the animal. And so, you see this imagery, just imagine this image of the saddle or the seat touching the skin of the back of the animal, the camel, the horse, the whatever it is. This word then began to be used in anything which is close together. You know? So for example, if you said this page and then the page alladhi yalihi, that means this page and then the next page. So it started to get used in Arabic for two things that are very close together. If you just imagine that imagery, that is the reason why this word began to be used for human relationships that are close together. For example, a person, a child, and their parent. The parent is known as a wali, a guardian of this child. Right? For example, a king or a president or a prime minister or governor of a country is known as waliul amr. Right? Because if you imagine the country's affairs, they are very closely attached to the country's affairs. But it also began to take the meaning of when you look after something. Right? When you look after something, something's in your responsibility. You are the wali of this thing. You are, for example, the king is the wali, he's the governor of the nation. The father or the brother or the male relative is the guardian. So now there's not just a meaning of closeness, there's a meaning of responsibility, guardianship. I have to look after this thing. This is how the meaning of Al-Wali. What does it mean when we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Wali, the ultimate protective and close guardian? That's the only way I can translate it. And then you have the second name, An-Nasir. Nasara Yansuru is to help, to support, to assist someone. If Brother Muhammad here, if somebody in the masjid decides to tackle him to the ground, right? And if somebody from the back comes and jumps forward to defend him, we say he was a Nasir. He came to support him. He came to aid him. He came to help him. That's what Nasir is. What do these two words have to do with one another? What's the link between these two names of Allah? Why do they always compare together? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, who can give me an example where he mentions these two names together? Ni'ma al-mawla wa ni'ma al-nasir. That Allah is an amazing mawla, protective guardian, close protective guardian, and he's also an amazing helper and supporter. What else? Ni'ma al-mawla wa ni'ma al-nasir. Anta mawlana fansurna. You are our protective close guardian, so help us. What else? What other ways has it come in the Quran? Good. وَلَن تَجِدَ لَهُ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَصِيرًا. Whoever turns against Allah, they will never find a close protective guardian, nor will they find a helper. وَلَيْسَ لَهُم مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ مِّن وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرًا. You'll find these two names close together very often. The only way I can explain to you the relationship between these two words is to give you an analogy. One day, you decide to go swimming in a swimming pool. Of course, the weather has to be good. So let's imagine that we have the sun comes out in this country, inshallah, one of these days. So you decide to go swimming. And let's say you go to swimming with your children. Yeah? So you go in the swimming pool, and any swimming pool generally should have a lifeguard, right? What's the role of the lifeguard? Sorry? Save anyone from drowning. Yeah? What were you going to say? This lifeguard not just saves anyone from drowning, they're responsible for the swimming pool and the health and safety policies and all the procedures, and the children should not be in the adult's lane and the adults should not be in the children's lane. And you know, they're not just looking at drowning, but a lot of other things. They are responsible for the entire swimming pool. This is a lifeguard. So now, imagine you're swimming with your children and you leave one of your children in the fast lane. You know, you want them to one day become an Olympic swimmer. Khalas, go in the 50 meter fast lane, you swim by yourself. Go to the deep end. And lifeguard decides to have a cup of tea, you know, to go for a break. So the lifeguard disappears. And suddenly, your child starts screaming and choking in the deep end. Now you realize that as an adult at the age of 45, you should have taken your swimming lessons more seriously as a child. And you realize you can't go to the deep end in time. Somebody standing on the edge of the pool, another adult, fully clothed, they jump into the pool and they grab your child and they pull them out, gasping for breath. This person is called a Nasir. It wasn't their job to help you. That's not their job. They're just someone standing on the sides. But when they saw someone in danger, they jumped to help and support and aid and assist. So they are a Nasir. They're helping, they're supporting, even though that's not their job. And who's the wali of the swimming pool?
The lifeguard.
Right? The lifeguard is responsible. It's his job to look after the swimming pool. He is the guardian of the swimming pool. He is the protector of the people in the swimming pool. It's his job. But if the guardian disappears, then who do you look for? Any helper. Right? Anybody, can anybody help me? SOS. Right? Imagine you're on the motorway. Let's say you're on the M6 on one unfortunate night. You're driving towards, let's say, Stoke-on-Trent. You're on one of the motorways. And you suddenly hear one of your tires puncture. You think, oh no, what do I do now? The first thing you should do, usually, is you call some assistance services. They are responsible, if you're insured correctly, they're responsible to come take you to safety. What if they don't pick up the phone? What if there's no signal? What if there's no SOS call? Then what do you rely on? How do you find a Nasir on the motorway? Anybody? You start, as the cars zoom past, you're there waving and waving. This happened to me once. I saw someone, I was driving on the motorway and there was a man on the side screaming and just waving. So I stopped my car and he said to me, you know, can you help me change my tire? I said, unfortunately, I'm not very good at this. If I change your tire, maybe both your tires will get punctured. Let's call for some services. So a Nasir is like a last resort, last worst case scenario. And the wali is a person whose job it is to help you, to guard you, to protect you. That's why whenever it's mentioned, wali comes first and Nasir comes second. You don't call the Nasir straight away. You don't call for a helper straight away. It's only in the absence of the wali, in the absence of the guardian, the protector, the person in charge, that you then ask, can anybody help me? And that's when somebody comes and helps. That's a Nasir. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is both al-wali and al-nasir. But who is Allah protecting and who is He guarding and who is He close to? We said, waliya, yali, gives you the imagery of something touching something else, so closely attached to it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran.
الله ولي الذين آمنوا يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور.
Allah is the wali, the close, protective guardian of the believers. He takes them out of darknesses into light.
والذين كفروا أولياؤهم الطاغوت.
And disbelievers, who are their protective guardians? False gods, who have no power.
يُخْرِجُونَهُمْ مِنَ النُّورِ إِلَى الظُّلُمَاتِ.
These false gods take them from light into darkness. That is the example, the imagery Allah gives. Just imagine that suddenly in this room there's a blackout. The room, we lose electricity in this room completely. And all of us, let's say we all have Nokia phones, and just one of us has a smartphone with a flash. Yeah? This one person with a flash on their phone can help us get out of here, find the door, find the staircase, and get out of here safe and sound. In the darknesses, one light is enough to show us the way. That is the role of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as al-wali. Is that when He sees those who are believers, those who choose to believe in Him, those who choose to be certain in Him, those who make the right choices, He helps them, He shows them the light, even when they are surrounded by darknesses, when they are drowning in disbelief, when they are drowning in sins, when they are drowning in an environment, they're suffocating, they can't escape, Allah shows them the light, how to escape. It's like some, you know, when somebody is in a swimming pool or in a sea or in a beach, and they're struggling to survive, what does a lifeguard throw them? Who knows? Yeah, there's the round orange thing, the lifesaver, whatever it is. He gives you, he throws you a lifeline. Suddenly you feel safe. In this same passage where Allah says that He is the wali, the close protective friend of those who believe, just a few verses before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the same example. He says, whoever holds on to Allah, فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَنْفِصَامَ لَهَا. He has held on to something that is so firm, it's never going to separate, it's never going to break, it's never going to disintegrate. Just like the lifeguard throws you a lifeline when you're struggling to survive, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-wali, when you're drowning, He is the one who throws you that lifeline. He is the one who shows you the light. He is the one who takes you out of your sins, who brings you to the masjid. He is the one who brought you here. If not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wilaya, His guidance, His guardianship over you, His support, His help, His love for you, you would not be here. You would be somewhere else drowning in the darkness of sin. But it is Allah, the wali, who brought you here. When we understand the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-wali, we have to understand first that we, as human beings, we tend to take awliya, we tend to assume things are protecting us and they're our guardians. We tend to rely on them. For example, who can give me some examples of people, of things that we rely on? We think this is going to protect me. Sorry? Policeman. Yeah? We rely on the police force. We think if anything goes wrong, it's okay. The police force is going to come. What else? The emergency services, which I'm right now struggling a little bit. Medicines. Yes. And we begin to rely on the medicine itself, on the safety service itself, on the ambulances themselves. And all of these things are what? They are just means. They are tools of Allah to help us. But we start to over-rely on the tools. We start to become obsessed with the tool. And we start to forget that behind the tool, there is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if He wishes, He can remove all the tools. And if He wishes, all the tools can be here and we're not able to do anything. It's like, imagine you buy a cupboard. You go to a furniture shop, you buy a cupboard. Let's say you go to one of those furniture shops where you have to assemble it yourself at home. And it comes with all the wood and all the screws and the nice instruction manual. And you have everything in front of you, but you realize you don't have a screwdriver. You can't build the cupboard. Never over-rely on the tools. The tools can go missing. You might have the wrong tool. But always rely on the one that made the tools. Because when you don't have the screwdriver, you're going to call the hardware shop. Do you have another screwdriver? Do you have another tool? So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ جُنُودُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, to Allah belongs the soldiers of the heavens and the earth. Just imagine this. That every ambulance service, every police force, every ant, every spider is a soldier of Allah. When He wants, He dispatches them to your service. And when He wants, He can withdraw them. They're all His troops. They're all His minions. They're all His army. And He's the one in charge. Not you, not me, not the thing itself. One of the beautiful ways, one of the beautiful reflections of the prophets, when it comes to understanding what does it mean for Allah to be al-wali, is the statement of Yusuf alayhi salam at the very end of his life. Now I want you to first understand something. When I say the lifeguard is like a wali over the swimming pool, You wouldn't expect that if you're struggling to breathe, that the lifeguard would just watch you for a little while and let you struggle for a little while. You would expect the lifeguard would immediately try to save you. But a swimming instructor would let you struggle. Because only when you struggle, that's how you learn to swim. This is how I learned to swim. One day my father just threw me in the deep end. I became an expert swimmer. But a swimming instructor is not just thinking, I need to save you. An instructor is thinking, how can I develop this person? What is the name of Allah that is associated with your development and you becoming better and you learning and you growing? Not Nasir. Ar-Rabb. Ar-Rabb is the one that nurtures, the one that helps you develop. So Allah, He's not just a wali, not just a protective guardian, not just concerned about your well-being and your safety. He also wants you to develop. So sometimes He will let you in the deep end struggle, because that's how you will learn to swim. Yusuf alayhi salam understands this. Imagine Yusuf alayhi salam, a child in the bottom of a dark well, abandoned by his brothers, by his loved ones. It's different. If it was somebody else, if some thief came and took him and threw him in the well, it's different. Or your own brother, your own brothers take you and they stab you in the back and they throw you in the well. I mean, not physically stab you, you know what I mean? They figuratively, they betray their own brother. It hurts. It hurts to a different level when family hurts us. When our own parent, our own sibling, our own relative, when they hurt us, it hurts a lot more than somebody else. He's in the well. Yusuf alayhi salam, when he's sold in the market, he's sold for a cheap price. It's like he's nothing. They don't value him. وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ دَرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودَةٍ They just sold him for a few pennies. They didn't value him. Imagine if someone told you that your price on the market is 10p. That's how much you are worth, Habibi. That hurts. Yusuf alayhi salam is going through this as a young boy. And then he gets to the palace and he gets some hope. And then as he gets into the palace, he gets seduced by the lady, by the wife of the king. And then he ends up in prison for something he didn't do. And all this time, he understands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still watching him, still guarding him, still protecting him. Allah is still close to him. Because sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to struggle, wants us to suffer so that we learn, so that we develop. As they say, no pain, no shawarma. Oh, sorry, did I get it wrong? No pain, no gain. And so sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as al-wali, the close, the loving creator, the one who wants to protect us, the one who guards us, sometimes He wants us to struggle in the deep end so that we learn. And so in the end of his story, when Yusuf alayhi salam's parents come back and he's put up on the throne, and he says, رَبِّ قَدْ آتَيْتَنِي مِنَ الْمُلْكِ رَبِّ Allah, you watched me develop. You gave me all of this kingdom. وَعَلَّمْتَنِي مِن تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ And you gave me the knowledge of interpreting dreams. فَاطِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ You created the heavens and the earth. أَنْتَ وَلِيِّي فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ You are my wali. You are my protector. You are the closest to me. You are the one who guards me. You are the one who looks after me in this world and in the hereafter. This admission, this realization that when he was in the bottom of the well, Allah was looking after him. And when he was in the palace, Allah was looking after him. And when he was in the prison, Allah was looking after him. It was all the plan of Allah until he sits on the throne and he realized that all of this was the wilayah, the guardianship and the protection of Al-Wali. Sometimes you don't realize he's looking out for you. Sometimes you don't realize he's looking out for you. You know, I'll give you an example. You know, I said the lifeguard, he throws you the ring so you can float. The ring, this lifeline to save you, can come in any form. You know, can you imagine that the prison was a lifeline for Yusuf alayhi salam? You know, we think If Allah is going to help us with His wilaya, He's going to give us a Mercedes Benz. He's going to give us some fine dining food. He's going to give us, you know, X, Y, Z blessing. This is how we think Allah will save us. But sometimes, to save us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to put us somewhere we are uncomfortable. What was Allah saving Yusuf from? What was in the palace that Allah had to save him from? The fitna of the women. Imagine, a massive palace. So much pride. So much happiness. On the outside, people come, they say, wow, 16-bedroom detached house, no mortgage. They're amazed. Wow, look at this kingdom of Yusuf. But they don't know inside the palace what goes on. He's miserable because every day these women are plotting against him. Is it worth living in a palace if you live a miserable life? It's not. Is it worth living in a prison if you live an honorable life? Allah saved Yusuf alayhi salam from the palace and placed him in a place in the prison. In the darkness of the prison, he was a muhsin. He was the most effective person he could be. And if he was in the palace, they would not have let him move. They would have twisted him and tied him and made him miserable. Allah saves in His protection in ways that we don't comprehend. Sometimes He saves us by leaving us in the deep end. Sometimes He saves us by putting us somewhere we don't expect. But He is Al-Wali. This is where the trust comes in. Knowing Allah is the protector. Knowing Allah is the closest to you. He knows best. And so sometimes He puts us in a place we never expected. This is where your trust in Allah, your reliance on Allah comes here. Yusuf alayhi salam, after all that happens, Anta waliyyi. You are my help. You are my protector, my guardian. Wherever you put me, you are watching over me. Fi dunya wal akhirah. Because Allah is not just looking out for your material world. Allah is also looking out for your afterlife. So you might suffer temporarily in this world so that you can get some real estate, some apartments and some palaces in the afterlife. That's why His wilaya, when He's protecting you, He's looking after you. He's not just looking at this world, He's looking at the afterlife. أنت ولي في الدنيا والآخرة. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frequently reminds us that there are two groups that can never be our wali, that can never protect or help us. Who can tell me what those two groups are? Yes. Okay, one is the disbelievers. Number two, the hypocrites. Okay, let's put the disbelievers and hypocrites together. What's the second? Okay, the false gods that people worship. Good. And there's a third. Yes. Sorry? We'll add that to the disbelievers group. Good. Excellent. There are three groups that sometimes we don't realize we take them as our awliya, we take them as our protectors. The shaitan, false gods, and the disbelievers. And those who are not trying to, not don't have our best interests at heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, who can give me the ayah? Surah An-Nisa, O believers, do not take the disbelievers as awliya. O believers, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la tattakhidhu al-kafirina awliya'a min dunil mu'minin. Don't take disbelievers as your protectors at expense of your fellow believers. Aturiduna? Good. At the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us. Now let me see, how does this, you know, in Ibn Ashur rahimahullah, he says that there are eight possible ways in which Muslims and non-Muslims end up working together or having relationships. Not all of them are harmful. Some of them are mutually beneficial. But the idea of a wali is when you're seeking honor from your relationship with somebody else, when you're sucking up to somebody else, when you need their validation, and without that validation, you're insecure about who you are. Sometimes we are like that. Sometimes as Muslims, we are like that. We don't feel confident in our beliefs until some non-Muslim says, yeah, this thing in the Quran is true. We say, look, you know that scientist, that philosopher said Muhammad is a prophet. Great. We were waiting for this philosopher to say something, right? This is just one example, a psychological example, where we have over-reliance. We seek izzah, we seek honor, dignity from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is just one example. Then it comes to the shaitan. How does a person take the shaitan as a wali? What does that even mean? Yeah. Okay, by following your desires and following your and getting involved in doubts, by following what the shaitan wants you to do, yes? Giving into his whispers. Mm-hmm. You're thinking your desires will give you something. Yes. You know, when you go to the lifeguard, when you give someone responsibility over your house, anybody you give a wali, make a wali responsible for anything, that you have to protect this thing. Anybody, you trust them, you rely on them for results. Sometimes we give this trust to the shaitan. I'll give you an example. Right now, for example, sometimes it can be a disadvantage in this world to be a believer, to be a Muslim. You have to sacrifice. Maybe financially you have to sacrifice. Maybe physically you have to sacrifice. Maybe your time you have to sacrifice. Right. I'll give you an example. Let's say you're a doctor, you're working in the NHS. Let's just give an example. Somebody, a Muslim, is a doctor working in the NHS. But this Muslim also loves the Quran and they want to memorize the Quran. They want to understand the meanings of the Quran. So every day, they wake up at Fajr, they spend 1 hour memorizing and revising and understanding the Quran, and then they drive 1 hour to work, they go to work, they squeeze their salah in the middle of their surgeries and dealing with patients. After they come home from work, 1 hour they spend with the Quran. Now their colleagues at work. Those 2-3 hours that this person spent with the Quran, your colleagues are spending it learning and developing and maybe reading books and, you know, developing professionally. So you start to think, the shaitan starts to tell you, you know what? This Quran is making you fall behind everybody else. The fact that you're going to the masjid, the fact that you're spending so much time here, you're going to fall behind. They're going to be consultants and you're still going to be a junior baby doctor. You're not going to be as quick as them. This is one of the ways the shaitan deceives us. Of course, Allah wants us to be excellent in this world and the hereafter. There's no contradiction. But there's one way the shaitan deceives them. We think, you know what? Let me just stop praying in the masjid. Let's pray at home. Let me just combine my prayers. Let me just leave this Quran thing until later, in 10 years later when I'm more settled. This I'm more settled never happens. You never settle. We're always moving. And so what happens? You start to put trust in the shaitan's promise. He's promising you something. If you let go of A, B, C, D, E, you're going to make progress. I'll give you a more real life example. Personally happened to me. When I was at university, I had a colleague, a Muslim colleague, who in Ramadan didn't fast. And the reason this person didn't fast, they said, look, it's exam season. How am I going to study and revise if I'm hungry and thirsty and tired? I said, look, man, I'm hungry and thirsty, but I'll do it with the help of Allah. Ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. I have confidence Allah will not leave us if we sacrifice for his sake. What happened? So you're eating, you're drinking coffee, tea, hot chocolate, you're staying up at night to study. The shaitan deceives you to think that these are the things which will make you pass your exams. Really? A bagel in the morning and coffee in the afternoon, that's going to make you pass your exams? Is not Allah the one who's going to give you success? This is where you have to trust. And so you say, you know what, the shaitan's point is a fair point. So you give in to the shaitan and his promises and his deception. And what happens on results day? You fail 6 subjects. That very person who didn't fast in Ramadan, in order to do well in the exams, they failed 6 out of 10 subjects. Now that may not be the case for everyone. Other people may not fast and that may make them pass. But they failed in the sight of Allah. They give in to the shaitan. اتخذوا الشياطين أولياء من دون الله. They put more trust in the shaitan's deception than in the promise of Allah. What does Allah promise us? إن تنصروا الله ينصركم. If you support Allah, Allah will support you. That's what Allah promises. What's the shaitan promising us? Oh man, forget it. So long. you know, why tire yourself? Just give in, right? Just forget it, do it later. The shaitan, this is the shaitan's whisper. When we start giving in to this, we're saying, yes, shaitan, habibi, come. Now I'm going to rely on you for results. I'm going to do exactly what you say, and you're going to give me results. People have the same issue with finances. Every day I get a call. Is crypto halal? Wallahi, I don't know. Is shortchanging halal? Is hedge funds halal? So some people, they get so obsessed with what to do with their money, they look for all the doubtful and grey areas in order to invest their money. The shaitan tells them, put your money in crypto, put your money here, put your money there, put your money there, buy those coins, you're going to become rich. I say to such people, who is the one who's going to make you rich? Allah. There are halal avenues, use them. When something is clear-cut haram, avoid it. But it's tempting. That's the deception of the shaitan. الشيطان يعدكم الفقر ويأمركم بالفحشاء. Shaitan promises you, you know, if you be a religious Muslim, you're going to be a poor person. Zakah, sadaqah, you know, all these halal investments, you're going to be poor, man. So just spend your money in the haram stuff. It's okay. At least you'll be rich. Right? At least you'll be rich. That's the deception that we begin to say, you know what? He's got a point. And that's when you've taken the shaitan as your awliya now. He's your wali. You better bet that he's going to help you on the day of judgment, because he's not going to help you. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frequently in the Quran reminds us, don't take the shaitan as your wali. He is not your friend, he is your enemy. The moment you hear that temptation, that whisper, don't fast, do this with your friend. The moment you hear those whispers, those doubts, that's coming from your enemy. He wants to make you doubt. إن الشيطان يعدكم الفقر ويأمركم بالفحشاء. Shaitan promises you that if you are religious, you will become poor. والله يعدكم مغفرة منه وفضلا. But Allah promises you that if you sacrifice for Him, for His sake, He will forgive you your sins and He will give you vast generosity of Allah. Whose promise are you going to trust? فأي الفريقين أحق بالأمن. In kuntum sadiqin. Who are you going to trust? You've got two parties promising you something. Every time you drive on a road, every time you turn on the telly, every time you're on YouTube, someone is selling you something. They're promising you something. Get rich in 7 days. Try this method. I'm standing in front of a mansion. Everyone is trying to sell you something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to trade with you something as well. قل هل أنبئكم على تجارة تنجيكم من عذاب أليم. Allah words it in the Quran. He says, O believers, هل أدلكم عفوا. Shall I tell you about a deal, a business deal that's going to save you from a painful, everlasting pain? Let's make a deal. So are you going to deal with Allah or are you going to deal with the shaitan? This is the name of Allah, Al-Wali. To take Allah as Al-Wali, it requires from us to trust in Him. When we know that Allah is Al-Wali, just as Yusuf alayhi salam, in the bottom of the well, in the darkness of the prison, in the height of the palace, in the slave market, he knows Al-Wali is looking after me. The same way, when you know Allah is Al-Wali, He is the lifeguard, and He's the guardian of your life, and He's close to you, and He wants best for you, you have to trust Him. You have to trust Him. You will never find a wali like Allah. The lifeguard can go for a tea break. Allah is al-hayyul qayyum. He never disappears. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. He never takes a break, nor does he take a nap. And this is why in the Quran, when Allah talks about His name, al-wali, He says, فَاعْتَصِمُوا بِاللَّهِ. He talks about al-i'tisam. For you to take Allah as your close, for you to trust Him. You have to trust Him. Because He is looking after you. Now, let us come to the second name of Allah, Al-Nasir. Do we need to take a break before Al-Nasir? Do you want to do some exercise, aerobics, some stretching? We're all awake? Khalas, okay, good. Inshallah, I'll tell you some not funny jokes and this will keep you all awake, inshallah. Al-Nasir, the one who helps, the one who supports. When it seems nobody else is going to help. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran,
إِن يَنصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ.
If Allah supports you and gives you victory, no one can defeat you.
وَإِن يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ.
And if Allah wants to humiliate you, no one can help you win after him. I want you to imagine Nuh alayhi salam. Nuh alayhi salam, 900 and how many years he gives da'wah to his people? 950 years. You cannot do this for 950 minutes. 950 years. Patiently giving da'wah to his people. And they're insulting him, and they're mocking him, and they're making fun of him, and he's patiently calling them quietly, loudly, privately, publicly. He's trying every avenue possible. At the end of all of this, when he can't take it anymore, he says something.
Rabbi inni maghloobun fantasir.
O Allah, I am overwhelmed, so help me. This name of Allah, An-Nasir, is usually used in the worst case scenario when you have nothing else, nobody to turn to but him. You are cornered. You've been cornered. You cannot left, right. There's no way for you to go. Just like when your wife cooks you something and you know it didn't taste nice, and then she asks you in front of everyone, how's the food? You're cornered. Nowhere to go. Yeah? Just like when your teacher knows that you don't know the answer to the question in the class, and he asks you, what's the answer to this question? You got nowhere to run. When you have nowhere to run and hide, the name of Allah, An-Nasir, comes to your mind. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he helps, he supports, he saves you from the worst of situations. Nuh alayhi salam, he says, Inni maghloobun, I am overwhelmed. I don't know where to go. Fantasir, help me. Fantasir, from the word an-nusra. There's another part of the Quran where Allah says he gave nasr, he gave help and victory. When somebody was in a corner, you have to tell me. I'll give you a hint if you guys don't get it. Yes?
Is it time? When
Khalid? Nope. But this is not what I'm thinking about. But this is a good istidlal. This is a good ayah that you're thinking about. Yes? Sorry? Close, a little bit before. Ahzab. This is one situation, but this is a good situation actually. You're giving me things that were not in my notes, so now I have to talk about these. But there's one particular moment in the Quran. This moment, if Allah didn't help, you would not exist today. There would be no Muslims today. It was the most dangerous moment in the history of Islam. He just said it, yes? Not the Battle of Badr. Yes, tell us, Doctor. Yes. When the Prophet Muhammad and Abu Bakr were in the cave. Alone. What does Abu Bakr say? Who can remember what he says? When he sees a group of kuffar above, people who are out to assassinate the Prophet Muhammad. He says, if they just look down, we're finished. If this group of disbelievers just looked down, Muhammad would have been assassinated, Abu Bakr, and what would happen to Islam? Finish. What does Allah say about this moment in the Quran?
Illa tansuruhu faqad nasarahu Allah.
Look, believers, if you don't stand up for the Prophet Muhammad, Allah is going to help him.
فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ إِذْ أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ.
When the disbelievers kicked him out, when he was just one of two people, no army, no weapons, no king, no authority, two people in a cave,
إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا.
When one of them said to his companion, don't be afraid, Allah is with us.
فأنزل الله سكينته على رسوله فأنزل الله سكينته عليه.
When you're backed in the corner and all the odds are against you and you say, Allah is going to give me nusra, Allah is going to help me. What does Allah then give you as a gift? Number one, Allah sent peace down on these people. Today in the world, the most expensive and valuable commodity is peace of mind. Everybody is looking for peace of mind. They go to the Bahamas, they go on holiday, they pay psychiatrists thousands of pounds. Why? I'm depressed. I'm anxious. I'm agitated. I can't sleep at night. The moment you realize Allah is an-Nasir, in the most stressful situation, Allah will send down a peace like no other peace. You'll feel like you're sitting in a jacuzzi, in an island. No, nothing to worry about. This is what sakina is. Sakina, tranquility, no worries. Sakina is how you would describe an ocean. Peaceful ocean, no ripples, no movement, peace. This is what Allah places in your heart.
فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَيْهِ.
Allah calmed Abu Bakr's heart.
وَأَيَّدَهُ بِجُنُودٍ لَمْ تَرَوْهَا.
And he helped them with soldiers they could not even see. Who are these soldiers? The angels. Some scholars say the animals, the spider, you know, different animals that were there in the mouth of the cave, depending on the authenticity of those narrations. They didn't, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr, they don't even realize what is happening. What is Allah doing to protect them? They don't even see these soldiers of Allah, these troops, going about their business.
وَجَعَلَ كَلِمَةَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا السُّفْلَى.
And he made the disbeliever's word or their authority the lowest.
وَكَلِمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَى.
And Allah's word the highest.
وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ.
This is Allah's name, An-Nasir. Today, many a khatib will shout from the minbar, this ummah is in weakness. We are destroyed. When is Allah going to help us? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man qala halaka an-nas fa huwa ahlakum. Whoever says the people are destroyed, they're finished, then he's the one who's destroyed. This name of Allah, An-Nasir, gives you hope. When you look at the world around us, and you look at the Muslim countries, and Iraq, and Syria, and Palestine, and Afghanistan, and every country, half of the people in this room would not be in the UK if it wasn't for the fact that living in the country, the Muslim country they were from, is not a life that they could live honorably. When you look at the world around you, don't lose hope. The nusra, the help of Allah, doesn't come overnight. It doesn't come overnight. One day in Mecca, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is sitting with his companions. And one of his companions, Khabbab ibn al-Arat, comes to complain to him. Now, can anybody remember any of the young men here? What happened to Khabbab ibn al-Arat? How was he tortured in Mecca? Does anybody remember? Yes? I don't want to repeat the way my Habibi said it. He was placed on hot coals, which burned through his flesh and his skin until his bones. Just imagine you look at a man and his back is just torn apart with burning coal. That's what happened to Khabbab. Now Khabbab is justified. He comes to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This hadith is in Bukhari. Shakawna ila Rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We came one day and we just complained to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is sitting back, mutawassid, and he has a cloak on top of him in the shadow, in the shade of the Kaaba. Just imagine this moment. فقلنا, a group of us came, we said, Ala tastansir, are you not going to ask Allah for his nusra, for his help, his support, his victory? Ala tad'u lana, when is this going to end? We have been tortured for so long. 13 years in Mecca. I have no flesh on my back. How long are we supposed to take this for? This is what he's saying to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet ﷺ coolly and calmly responds, قَدْ كَانَ مَنْ قَبْلَكُمْ يُؤْخَذُ الرَّجُلُ. People before you went through worse than what you guys are going through. In the times of the Prophets before you, Muslims would be taken, and a grave would be dug for them in the earth, and then a large, like a garden scissor would be brought, and it would cut his head in half, and he would be beaten and melted with melting iron, until he has no flesh and bones, and still that would not make him give up his deen. And then the Prophet ﷺ says, Wallahi la yutimmanna Allahu hadha al-amr. Allah is going to fulfill his promise. There will become a time when somebody will go from Sana'a to Hadramaut, two cities in Yemen. لا يخاف إلا الله. Now Sana'a and Hadramaut back in those days was like the most dangerous few kilometers on this earth. You could not go 1 kilometer without being stabbed or stolen from or finished. You cannot cross this place. Like people say Bermuda Triangle, all of these conspiracy theorists, right? They say there's this triangle in the ocean, whichever ship goes there, it disappears. This part from Sana'a to Hadramaut was like the Bermuda rectangle. You could never pass there. You would disappear. The Prophet ﷺ says, this place which is so dangerous, there will come a time, somebody will pass this area on a horse or on a, you know, on a caravan, and they will have no fear. They'll be safe. لا يخاف إلا الله. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ. You guys are in a rush. You guys are in a hurry. Allah's victory does not come overnight. How long did Nuh alayhi salam have to wait? 950 years. We are an impatient people. We are a generation of KFC and fast food. We are a generation of drive-through and same-day delivery. Like same-day delivery. Do you understand how many people have to be mazloom and oppressed for you to get your item on the same day? We are a people who have been spoilt by speed. Sheikh Muhammad, you remember the days of dial-up connection? You had to wait 3 minutes to connect to the internet, and then every web page would take 6 minutes to load. And to hear people know only fiber optics. We are a generation and a people who don't know patience. We don't. Everything immediate, everything fast, everything now, yesterday, tomorrow, same day delivery. But nusra, Allah's help and support, it doesn't work like that. Don't be in a rush. This is what the Prophet says to Khabbab. Yes, you have no flesh on your back. Yes, you are in pain, but there will come a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will convert 1 billion people on this earth into Muslims. You have to wait. You have to be patient. Musa alayhi salam, his people, when they suffer at the hands of Fir'aun, they say to Musa alayhi salam, قَالُوا أُوذِينَا مِن قَبْلِ أَن تَأْتِيَنَا وَمِن بَعْدِ مَا جِئْتَنَا. O Musa, we were being tortured before you came, and we're still being tortured. You've not done anything for us. And Musa alayhi salam says to them, قَالَ عَسَى رَبُّكُمْ أَن يُهْلِكَ عَدُوَّكُمْ. He said, look, Allah might destroy your enemy and then make you the kings of this part of the earth. فَيَنْظُرَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ. That might happen. But إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ. You have to grasp this idea that this earth is Allah's. يُورِثُهَا مَن يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. He decide who's going to be king. Sometimes you're on the bottom, sometimes you're on the top. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. You have to be patient. When you are in suffering and when you are on the top, when Yusuf alayhi salam was in the prison and the well, he was patient. And when he was the king, he was patient. But if he said, oh Allah, I'm 10 years old, make me the minister of Egypt now. It wouldn't have worked. He had to wait till his 40s, till his 50s, until he could sit and say, "Anta waliyyi fi dunya wal akhirah." The nusra of Allah comes at His pace, not at your pace and my pace. We are people, we want change overnight. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna maw'idakum as-subh, alaysa as-subh biqareeb." There will come a time when the change can come overnight, but it is all in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we internalize the name of Allah, An-Nasir, you know that there is no corner that anybody can place you in except that you can ask Allah for His nusra, for His help. فَنِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.